Blog Talk Radio.
Away, away from the noise, alone with you. Nothing else matters. My one desire here is to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you.
Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah. Shabbat shalom. This
Shabbat
is the
shalom.
Day. This is the day that the Most High has made, our Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya. And this is the Hebrew day of worship, the day of rest that He created, where we do no servile type of work, where we reflect on His goodness, where we bask in His kabod, where we take in the true Knesset, and where we enjoy one another as family at Mishpachah, where we come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. No, it's not the first day of the week, Pagan Sunday. No, it's not that. No, it's not that. That's a lie. It's not the European way. It's not what Constantine invented. It's this day when you stop everything. You don't bow down to this system. What this system has created, blue light specials, blue light sales, flag sales, especially getting out there shopping, exchanging money. No, we don't do that. We shut it all down after 6 days of hard work, labor, of having to serve this world that we're forced to live in, that's been turned over into the hands of the Gentiles, which is not us. We take our time, recognize and reflect and know that He still exists and He's coming back for us, and He's coming back with recompense to avenge us from our enemies, the Gentiles, the things they've put us through. But on this day, we don't worry about it. We focus, we worship, we lift Him up. So welcome to another edition of the Shabbat Convocation, Kabod Mountain Yasharel, here on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. I'm Elder V, and I'm also joined by my brother, Elder Daniels. How's it going, bro?
Oh, man, this is a day that the Master has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah.
Most definitely, most definitely. How's things on your side of the bay?
Well, looks like it's probably going to be another hot day, but still glad to be alive to see it. You know, so some people didn't open their eyes this morning. So, you know, I'm always grateful to open my eyes and be in good health. And, Master watched over us last night and protected us from all evil. And so I'm grateful. And it seemed like the older you get, the more appreciative you start, you start appreciating these things.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
I think we have a tendency to become more reflective because we have more behind us than we have ahead of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I just want to say to the listeners, we want to thank you for your support that you're giving, first of all, to the Most High. We're waking up. Israel, we're waking up, but when we wake up, it's not enough to just wake up and say we're the people. We already know that, oh yeah, Yahushua was black. We already know that. Let's get past that. This was designed to do what our forefathers did in the past, because they couldn't walk around with these like 500-pound, 200-pound scrolls. They went to the temple to hear the reading of the laws and statutes and commandments so that they might have some order, understand the way that the Most High wanted them to be conduct their lives in order that they might be Kodesh. Now, I know a lot of you saying, we can't do that no more. That's why we're in this situation now, because we couldn't do it. We couldn't keep it. But guess what? We're going to have to come back, because when He comes for us and places us in the wilderness, which you call Shemaim, like what a lot of y'all taught, we're taught in Christian church, we're going to heaven. No, where you're going into a wilderness He's prepared for you. And He said He's going to put us back up under the rod. And even during that time, there will be some that will not be successful in coming back into the statutes and commandments, because they won't, excuse me, be able to conform and discipline them their lives enough to follow these statutes. So what we do now that we're coming into the knowledge of self, of who we are in Him, we are putting into practice these statutes, laws, and commandments. And it actually, for myself, let me testify, gives you a more kodesh, separated, as you would say, blessed, increased life. And when I say that, I mean content, peaceful, no anxiety, no stress or wondering what's getting ready to happen in this world, worrying about the money, worrying about how my family's going to be. I've learned to rest in him because I'm abiding in the statutes that he's given me. So this is why we want to bring our people back to it so they can understand a better way of life to prepare themselves for where they're going when he comes back to avenge us and replace us in our rightful place. What say you, bro?
Man, hey, pretty much, you just said it all. Man, there's nothing really to add to that. You said it all. And to put in, you know, I talk to my brother every day, listener, so, you know, I can talk to him like this. To put in church talk, you know, this is true holiness, you know, and true holiness is not only knowing his teachings and his instructions, that is what we call the laws, but obeying them. And so most of us don't even know the law, so, you know, because we never read our Bibles or the scriptures.
Right.
So we're bringing it to you. You know, just like the master had just dropped manna right in front of him, we're putting the manna right in front of you. You know, so open the doors and eat. You know, and so you know, we're here today to bring it to you. You know, so come in and join us, and you know, call your friends, call your relatives, and come on in. All is welcome.
Yeah, most definitely. Start letting people know that's what this show is strictly about, going to the temple, the synagogue, and hearing the reading of the 613 that was given to Musa. Some of you call Moshe, and some of you call Moses. And I'm not talking about, what's that cat's name? Charlton Heston. I ain't talking about him. I'm talking about the brother Musa, Moshe. I'm talking about that cat right there that the father came to. What I used to call, and you see in the archives, Glory Mountain. He came to, it was Mount Sinai, ain't that right, Brother Elder Daniels?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And sat down with him, and you know what always amazes me when I see that scripture is that there was the cloud. There was such a rumbling and lightning and everything that the people were afraid. They were afraid. They didn't want nothing to do with it. And Musa would walk up there and just get the laws, commandments, come down, hair gray, change countenance, glowing, but they were afraid. They were like, "You go speak with him. We don't want to deal with none of that," because that's how awesome he is. And I won't say he's terrible, but he's forceful. And if you're not in the right capacity, then you're not supposed to be before him. And when he returns, boy, it's going to be something else. There will be bombs. There will be darkness. There will be destruction, terror, and fear. But those of us who have that mark, that stamp in our heads because we're abiding in these laws and statutes and commandments and keeping the Shabbat, we will be covered and protected. How do I know that? Psalms 91:1 makes it clear. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Go ahead and read the rest of that, and you'll understand that it explains that 1,000 will fall at your left, 10,000 at your right, but nothing, no harm will come nigh you. So that's what's going to be happening when those bombs start to drop over in Iran, the Third World War, the pestilence and the diseases, all that stuff takes place. Those who are keeping these laws and keeping the faith and following him will not be harmed. That's how important what we're doing on the Shabbat is. Let's come back to the laws. And with that said, I guess we can just get it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last week, to those of you listeners who didn't hear the first three, I encourage you to go to the archives of this same program and get it from there. But because, you know, that we're on for a short time, I don't really want to review. We just want to just take it from 4 through 6 today. And the first one, the fourth one, I should say, is to love him. And that is found in Deuteronomy, which is Devarim in the Hebrew Torah, 6 and 5. That's to love him. Elder, what are you reading out of today? What is your weapon of choice?
I still got King Jimmy. I'm gonna keep up with our listeners. I got, yeah, King James.
Okay, and I'll read from my weapon of choice, the Hallelujah Scriptures, and at times, if it's called for, I'll use the Abrahamic faith, Nazarene Hebraic, and the Hebrew Greek. So we can break things down.
Okay, definitely. Let's get it.
Okay, so that would be, once again, Deuteronomy 6 and 5, and that's the fourth commandment. Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
I'll read from King James, and it says, verse 5, and thou shalt love, I'm going to read it exactly as it says in King James, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Excuse me.
Mine's basically saying the same thing. I'm reading once again from a Hebraic term. And for, you know, before I read, for those who basically have their different version or different names that they may call them, Yah, let's just agree today just to call Yah instead of Ahaya or Ahya or Yahuwah or Yahweh, for the sake of argument, because I don't want no phone calls coming in where you didn't say his name right. Let's just go with Yah today, okay? If that's all right with all the listeners. So it says today in verse 6, chapter 6 and 5, it says, you shall love Yah, your Elohim, that means mighty one. King James would say God, with all your heart and with all your being and with all your might. So it's basically saying the same things that you're saying, Elder, that you just read.
Right. Go ahead.
And so that's letting us know right there that we're not just to serve him or worship him or just have him in our life in any kind of way. And that seems like the church have taught that over the years. That and maybe they didn't mean to. I don't know. Because I don't know what's in the heart of every pastor or whatever, but the world seemed to think that as long as you know that there's Elohim or know that there's a master in heaven, a creator, that you can just live any kind of way and that you don't have to love him with all your heart and with all your soul, your being, and with all your strength. But you can just call on them whenever some tragic thing come along. You know, like here some years ago, we had a major earthquake in the Bay Area. You know, freeway had collapsed and Bay Bridge had, you know, top part had somewhat collapsed. And people were calling his name then when tragedy strikes. But then not to, you know, because we live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so there's a lot of, especially in the San Francisco area, there's a lot of homosexuality and everything that's rampant. As soon as everything got somewhat back to normal, you went back to your old ways. You know, and so, but to those who love him, you will serve him and you will care about what he thinks. And so each and every day you would conduct yourselves, if I can use that word, in a manner, in a way that's pleasing to him, no matter if you're on your job or no matter, you know, it's in every way. And so the way you eat, the way you talk, the way, you know, I mean, everything, dress, you know, every sing, whatever it is, you're looking to please him. You're looking to love him with all your heart and with all your being and with all your might. And I'm sorry for talking so much, Ellie.
No, you don't have to apologize. Go ahead. It's all, I was just looking at some of the precepts, and I was in the Strong's. The only one that really, I think the majority of the ones, the 3 points, which is shout, love, heart, soul, and might, I think they're pretty self-explanatory. As I was looking at shout, love, I wanted to take a look at that in Strong's. Number 157, which is Ahib, or Ahab, some would say, and mm-hmm. it pretty much said to have affection for. And when I, you know, so pretty much to say, thou shalt have affection for, thou shalt love. And I think everyone that's listening can personally reflect on times or persons they have had affection for, and how enigmatic, charismatic, the way they felt, how intense it was, and how it overtook them. But, you know, this is the only point I want to make. I think a lot of, unfortunately, we have a lot of young listeners in different generations. There's not too many people that know what love is anymore in this society. So we have a lot of infatuation in our society now, and a lot of lust. So mm-hmm. I think anywhere from 40 up, and I might maybe even 30, 35, some of those people have experienced real love, but I think anywhere from 35 down, a lot, it'd be safe to say a lot of our kids haven't experienced real love. I used to always use a scenario that the closest mm-hmm. I can get to unconditional love is a mother and her child, but that's gone. That's gone now. With the abortion rate, with the adoption rate, with forsaking kids, with wanting to party and live in this life as opposed to taking care of your children, that's gone. So the thing that bothers me most is because it says that God, as you say, Yah, Ahaya, he is love. And real love is unchanging. It's a conscious decision, and it's not based upon a feeling or infatuation or a chemical high, secretion of brain fluids, endorphins, oxytocin, serotonin. It has nothing to do with that, because that minimizes, dissipates. But if you are in love with somebody, you make a conscious decision that I'm going to love you no matter what happens to me, no matter what I go through, no matter who leaves this life. So when I see this, all the heart, with all thy heart, soul, and might, nobody even in the Christian church or in Islam or these other cults and religions, none of them are even serving their gods like that, because I don't think anybody understands with what intensity that he's saying this. Thou shalt, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, with everything in you. If you were really there, you'd shut everything down, especially on the Shabbat. So, you know, I just think people have got to come back to that, and that will revolutionize your life. Because when you're romancing the Most High every day,
you won't be. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, listeners, because we use precepts and we do let the word speak for itself, but I just wanted to expound on that, because this isn't really a precept show. It's we want you to hear the laws, and then we want to make the law plain for you. We want you to hear what those laws were and then make it plain for you. So I think loving the Most High in this capacity will give you tunnel vision, so you don't worry about everything they're saying on the news about the economy and what's getting ready to happen, the Third World War, they're poisoning us, the foods. If you love him like this, I think you're going to be good. But the problem is that most people don't know what real love is, and they don't know how to do that.
The other thing, too, is you can't even go forward. This is the first one. When I say first, even though we're in the fourth, command, you can't even go forward without taking care of this matter first. So in Matthew 22:37, the Messiah says the same thing. Well, 36. The question was asked. It says, and I'm reading from the Greek Hebrew, it says, teacher, which is the great command of the law, or to put in their language, which is the great command of the Torah? And he said, you shall love, of course, now he's not using the word Lord, but he says, you shall love, now today I'm using Yah, okay, everybody? You shall love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul, that's that being, and with all your mind. And then he says afterwards, this is the great and foremost command. And so this is the thing that over the years, and I, just like almost everybody else, I grew up in church, that it was not taught properly, because in order to worship him and anything having to do with him, the first requirement is to love him. And it's not a forceful love, because once you get into his presence and just spend a little time with him, that'll come easy because he is love. And so once you get in the presence of love, you'll get, if I can say, wrapped in his love. And the abundance of his love will overtake you. And so to first love him is not a hard thing to do. All you need to do is just be around him and start praying and worshiping him. And, you know, that'll come. And so you can't even move forward without obeying this first. And also the first to know that, first of all, he exists. That's the first one, and then, you know, and then you add this to it. You have to first know that he exists. And so, Elder, you had mentioned about how love is just not present today. And the funny thing about it, because I do ministry in prison, and one of the things that I mention in prison all the time is that things have gotten so wicked that just to say love now, coming from a man's mouth, would make you seem like you're a homosexual or something, or weak. And so that's how things have gotten today. Just to say, man, I love you, is a sign of weakness, or a sign like, oh, he must be gay. You know, it's like, you know, that's how bad things have gotten.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
No, but to be, I'm sorry, but let me add this one. But to be hateful and to be, as you want to call yourself, hard and hateful and mean, then, okay, he's a man. But to say to love Yah, or to, you know, and to love Yah is also to love, I mean, that other love, it would just spread all around. It's like you start loving your wife, your family, your, you know, I mean, your kids. And it just go on and on. You'll walk in his love. But to do that now is to be weak. To do that now is to be, I'm talking about from a worldly point of view, not from the kingdom's point of view. Is to be weak. The requirement today is to be mean and hateful and rough. And then you'll be considered a real man versus the other way around. Walk in darkness versus in the light. And, you know, that's anti-Torah.
Right.
And so, do you have anything else to say, Elder?
No, I'm straight. I'm increased. We can go to the next one.
Okay, the next one is keep your hands in Deuteronomy. We're gonna walk a few blocks down to Deuteronomy. That's Devarim 10:20, and the fifth one is to fear him. So Deuteronomy 10:20, and Elder, if you can read it from a King James or King Jimmy point of view, and I'll take it from the Hebraic point of view.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name.
Okay, in mine say, coming from the Hallelujah Scriptures, it says, revere, now it would, mine would say Yahuwah, but revere Yah, your Elohim, serve him and cling to him and swear by his name. And so that's another thing, if I can go on with this, and then, well, Elder, do you want to expound on it first?
No, I just wanted to point out one of the key precepts, and then I'm out the way. You can say what you have to say, and that is Proverbs 9 and 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm.
And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, you know, that is the only thing I really want to say, is that precept, Proverbs 9 and 10. That's the beginning of wisdom, this one right here.
Well, I mean, I'm starting to notice a pattern that each and every one says, okay, it's the first, or it's the beginning. So it's like these precepts, don't get confused as far as, well, wait a minute, I thought the other one was the first. Well, this one here is letting you know that to fear him is, and that word fear is a word that's called Yara, and to the those who know your Hebrew, it's not the Yara of the Torah, which is Y-A-R. A-H. This is Y-A-R-A, meaning to fear, respect, honor, and out of that fear, worship him. And so it's to be dreadful of him. That would be another term for it. And so we got to get back to the foundations of the teachings of the master, because that's another thing, and I don't mean to dwell in negativity, but that's another thing that we have lost, and especially the church have lost these days, because and I'm not really talking about the world, because the world going to be the world, but the church and those who call themselves the people of Yah or Ahaya would. Their respect for him and their revere for him and their fear for him has been lost, because we know this because of how we carry ourselves. We just act any kind of way, and we use his name in vain and all kind of stuff, and just don't respect him. I personally would be afraid to do that.
Right.
To just not respect him and come before him any kind of way.
Most definitely.
You know, I mean, imagine, I mean, because Yah, you know, is our husband, meaning Yahushua. Imagine if you can put this in picture form, that each and every night, as Hosea or the book of Hosea, what he experienced is, you know, wife's not coming home, wife not honoring you as a husband, come in knowing that she been out and slept around with all kind of men. And, you know, I mean, imagine coming before him dirty and filthy and, you know, just, you cheated on him, you just, I mean, and showing him no respect. Because, I mean, to show him no respect means that you're gonna cheat on him. If you don't have respect for your husband, meaning the master Yahushua, you're gonna cheat on him. You're gonna worship other, if I can use the King James Version. You're going to worship other gods. You're going to, you know, I mean, you're just going to not have respect for them and treat them any kind of way until the day you need them. Then he's like, well, let me run back to my husband, and he'll get me out of this. And then after that, you run back to other, and you know, other gods. And you come before him filthy and smelly, and, you know, he can smell the sin on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's having no fear. But he says here that we are to fear him or to revere him. There's other parts too. I wanted to mention that, but I'm trying to you know, like, leave room open for you, Elder.
No. Go ahead. Feel free to go ahead. I'm listening. I was also looking up some things while you were speaking. And, I mean, when you speak of fear, I was just imagining how most people be like, well, why would he want me to fear him? You know, he's because, you know, the Christian church has painted this image of Christ. You know, they've feminized everything. You know, the little gay looking angels and the white Christ with sandals looking like a hippie, who, you know, with this androgynous look. And so they don't understand. And here's the other thing about fear. That when you fear him, you'll think twice before you're going to commit adultery. When you fear him, you'll think twice before you go to rob, steal, and kill. Because you know there's consequences with all of your actions, because he's going to see to it, because he's already put laws in motion that you will reap what you sow. But nobody has fear, which is why they do all these things that their spirit, their soul, their conscience, as they want to say, tells them is wrong, and they blurt out. This is why most people get so intoxicated, high, and everything else to do the things that they're going to do, because they have no fear.
Mm. Man, it's just funny you say that, because do you see, when you read these instructions, do you see the type of world that we're living in today? And I mean, I'm a black man, and so not to say that most blacks came from the ghetto, but I was raised in not a ghetto, but it was sort of an in between type of neighborhood. You're halfway there, you're halfway in, you're halfway out, and you know, so each and every day I seen things, but now I live in the suburbs, and there's no difference, you know, the same disrespect and the same lack of fear that we have for the master is prevalent everywhere. It's not just in the ghetto, it's not just in Hispanic and black neighborhoods, but it's in, you know, it's in Beverly Hills, it's in, you know, the suburbs, inner cities and suburbs as well. And so this is not just pertaining to people of color. This is prevalent everywhere. And even, you know, thinking of a scripture, I think it's either Hebrews, let me try to find it. I think it's either Hebrews 12:20 or 12:21. Wait, let me just turn to it. I know it's somewhere in, hold on. Hebrews, it says here in 21, Hebrews 12:21, it says, and so terrible was the sight that Moses or Musa or Moshe said, I am full of fear and trembling. And this is, you know, this is when, you know, he went to, well, let me read 20. They could not bear the command, even if even a beast touches the mountain, it would be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses or Musa said, I am full of fear and trembling. So even though he went up to the mountain, even he went up. He didn't like, oh, okay, everybody stay here because, you know, I know you guys scared. I'm just going to walk up on up. And even he went up with trembling. He was full of fear and trembling. So he didn't come to him any kind of way. He went up, man, I can picture it. He went up slow. He went up shaking. He went up bowing down before his presence, because he already learned way back when he was tending to some sheep. He learned to take his shoes off because the ground he stood on was holy ground. So he already knew how to approach him.
Right.
But I just wanted you to know that it wasn't like, okay, you guys stay here. Well, I'm going up there, and I'm the man, and so I'm just going to go up there, and I'm going to hang out with JC, as some of you call him, for a while. And, no, he didn't do that. He went up with fear, and he went up with trembling.
Absolutely.
If I can hit on that other, the second part of that, where it says, and swear by his name. If I can hit on that word is the word, and you're going to recognize, to you listeners, you're probably going to recognize the root of it. The word is Shabbat. And I'm not talking about Shabba Ranks. I'm talking about
Shabba. Brother, you can wave back. Come on now. Where's that brother at?
Oh, man. My Jamaican brother. That word this word will open up as far as what the Torah is really saying, because that word means oath. And it means seven, and it also means to be completely filled, satisfied, and prospered. And so when you think of the word, when it says in verse 20, reading from the Hallelujah Scriptures, to revere, we've already been through that word, to revere Yah, your Elohim, serve, King James says, your God, serve him and cling to him and swear by his name. He's not talking about swear as in cursing to those of you who you may think that. That word here is, once again, the word seven, the number seven, excuse me, is means completeness is the word. And if I can give a picture, or if I can give a background of their ancient ways, customs, a servant would give seven oaths to a king, or seven oaths to a person who he's under. If he gives seven oaths, that means that I'm going to completely serve you. I'm not going to serve you for a day and then next day I'm gone. If he gives seven oaths, that seven oaths means I'm gonna, for the rest of my life, I'm gonna serve you. And so the oath of it is the Torah, meaning that what we're going over now, that as we learn the Torah, as we learn his commands, we're gonna serve him. And then remember I said that the word, matter of fact, you see the word Sabbath in there too. That's Sabbath. The only thing missing is the T. But doing that, as Elder V mentioned earlier in the beginning of the program, is complete fulfillment of life. Completely satisfied, having made this oath and this promise to serve him and to honor him and to love him, as we just mentioned, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Having to do that is complete fulfillment in life. If you don't mind, Elder, me just giving an Egyptian hieroglyph picture of this, because I do that sometimes, because the pictograph Hebrew is the same as the without adding all those other idol gods and all this other mysticism to it. The original Hebrew the original Egyptian is similar, if not the same, as the Hebrew. And so the picture of it is, given the Egyptian point of view, that my son called it PowerPoint. I told him I would use that today. give the PowerPoint picture of it is a picture of a pool with flowers, and, you know, it's an oasis, a pool. And then after that is a picture of a foot. In the Egyptian, the foot means a place. It can represent a house, wherever you settle at. That's where it's going to be, you know, your abode. And let me see, Shava. Okay, and then the other picture is the picture of an arm. So what you're doing is the picture is showing that you're resting after being washed, you know, because you wash yourself in a pool. You're resting in the house of Yah. And so those who obey his commands are fulfilled and resting in his presence. And I just wanted to give that PowerPoint picture of that regarding this word. And so I hope we get an understanding of what it means to swear by him.
Yeah, that needs to be pointed out. That needs to be made clear. I think there's a lot of too much room as far as our particular society right now to misunderstand that. So that was important.
Well, can I ask you a question, Elder?
No, please.
And once again, if I ask a question, I may be asking, not that I don't know, but I'm asking, and to get your point of view on Matthew, I think it's 5. Once again, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I have to 5. Oh man, what is it? 5. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. Actually, it may not be in 5 at all. Just a minute. Let me just look this up. When the Messiah, he's talking about, do not swear by the heavens, and let me find that.
Uh-oh, he's turning the pages over there.
Yeah, I, you know, that just let everybody know that I feel at home. I don't have to, like, well, you know, turn here and just like I know everything. I have to find stuff too. 5:34, Matthew 5:34.
And it says,
okay, let me, do you want me to read it from the King, not King James, but from the Hebrew point, or from the just regular, not King James, but I forgot which one.
No, however you
I got
feel
the New American Standard.
However you want to pose your question.
Okay, my question is, reading this from 5:33 to 34, it says, again, you heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to Yah. This is the Master talking, the Messiah. But I say to you, do not swear falsely at all, neither by the Shamayim, because it is Elohim's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great sovereign or the great king, nor swear by your head, because you are not able to make one hair white or black. But to go back to 34, when he says, but I say to you, do not swear falsely at all, neither by the Shamayim or the heavens, because it is Elohim's throne. What does he mean by that? Is that contradicting what we just read in Deuteronomy 10:20?
Not at all, because the word never contradicts itself. People seem to think that because they don't understand the context from which things are said in. And so he's definitely referring to something else, but I'll let you explain it.
Well, the way I take that, and, you know, we'll be taking phone calls in a little while.
Oh, yeah, we have like about 10 or 15 minutes left in regular time so we can get the third point out and then take calls as well.
Okay. It does not say do not swear or do not make an oath by his name. You know, so to me that's not contradicting 10:20. The heavens can be anywhere. It can be do not swear, do not give an oath by the sun, the moon. It could also mean the angels or the messengers, the Malachim, in the heavens. Anything that has to do with the heavens above, not to give an oath unto them, meaning that if you give an oath unto them, then you're worshiping them. And the children of Israel already knew this because according to the word, they worship the mighty ones of Egypt. And so and one of their, you know, I mean, they, you know, man, those Africans worshiped everything. I mean, from sun to the moon to crocodiles to lions to, I mean, anything, any and everything that was that they revered, I mean, they worship and when I say worship, gave an oath to or sweared to. And so that's what I'm taking out of that as far as do not swear by the heavens because it's the master's throne. That's what I took out of there. And so he's not saying to not give oaths at all. Because you already give one oath, and that's really to the Master Yah, or to Ahayah, you know. And so that's, you know, that's who we are to give our oath to. You're going to give an oath to somebody or to something,
right.
whether you open your mouth and admit it or proclaim it yourself. You're gonna serve something. It's in our nature to do so.
Right. Right, right.
And so I just wanted to point that out just in case someone calls and says, well, no, he says do not, you know, to go to the scripture. I wanted to point that out. He's not talking about to himself or to the Father. Do you want to expound on that or move on?
For the sake of time, let's get to the next precept, next law.
Okay, and that should, I guess, carry us on through.
While he's preparing that, we will open up the lines for any questions anyone may have as it pertains to the law. The guest call-in number is 213-769-0910. Go ahead, bruh.
Okay, the next one is to sanctify his name, to sanctify his name. That would be in Leviticus 22:32, and to our Hebrew brothers, Vayikra 22:32.
So I'm going to read from Leviticus out of the King James, Leviticus 22:32. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you.
Yeah, and mine says, and do not profane my Kodesh name, my set-apart name, and I shall be Kodesh among the children of Israel. I am Yah, who kodosh you.
For the listeners, you want to go ahead and explain kodosh, who may not know?
Kodosh means to be set apart. I think I gave this last week. To be set apart, special, handpicked, chosen. I gave a picture of if a man had, this was in one of the Wednesday night teachings, one of those, that if a king had the choice to choose from many wives, and let's just say there's a thousand or more women standing before him, he's looking for a wife, and he can choose any one he wants, but he's looking for, you know, what he desires and what he pictures in his mind, what attracts him the most in every way. And so as he as he's walking down the line, and there's all these beautiful women before him, he's walking down the line and wanting to choose which one, he sees one that catches his eye. And so what he does is, he, out of all those women that he could choose, he walks up to this one particular one that catches his eye, that, you know, that is what he really desires. And he pulls this woman out from among the thousands of women, and he marries this woman. So what he did is, he took this woman, he set her apart from all the rest, and he married this woman. So this woman became set apart. She was chosen. She was handpicked for him. And so that's what that word means, to be set apart, chosen, handpicked, and special. And so to be set apart is to be special, because he handpicked you himself.
Well, Elder, let me say this real quick, because I'm going to go to the Strong, 6942. And the only reason we're spending a lot of time on this one particular word in the verse before we expand, 6942 is saying this. So listen, it says, to make prominence or observe as clean. But what I want to bring out is talking about ceremonially or morally. And the reason I want to bring this out is because when we start getting into the other 600 and, well, it's 613, but we've covered three, so I say 610. When we start getting into these other laws, you'll find out that there were times when people were not clean, that they had to be set apart in a different way, because Kodesh could also mean defiled. So, and what I mean by that, defiled is actually in this meaning, interpretation, because when you're unclean ceremonially or morally, you have to be set apart from the rest of the congregation. Now, see, that even also applies in the laws when a woman was having a menstrual cycle. She was unclean and had to be put out of the camp until that was complete. And a man was not supposed to touch her. So that is also applicable to times when we're unclean and we've defiled one of the laws and we cannot participate with the rest of the congregation because we've defiled ourselves. Also, that takes us back to sanctifying the name, kodeshing the name. If you know you've been in sin, you've transgressed the laws, you've done something you're not supposed to do, you're not supposed to even say Ahaya. Mm. You're blaspheming the name. You're not even supposed to be calling on him. You're supposed to be saying God, the title, because you have no business calling him by his sacred name. To some of you all, it might be Yah. I don't know what the sacred name is to you right now. There's too much of a fight over the name. I call him Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya. That's what I call him. But we're not going to fight over the name. The point is that you must be ceremonially and morally clean as it applies or concerns these laws and precepts. And so the Kodesh, I'll give it to you again, is 6942 in the Strong's. And it says to consecrate, dedicate, to defile, or to hallow, to keep, to prepare, to purify, to sanctify. And we're not always perfect. So when we're not perfect, you need to step aside and get yourself perfect. So sometimes you have to be set apart in a different way because you've defiled yourself. So I just wanted to bring that. And go back. Deuteronomy, what's the key verse again? Because I lost my place. Deuteronomy, where are you
Deuteronomy,
at?
Deuteronomy, Leviticus 22:32.
Right.
But within Strong, do you see the word in there prostitute?
Not under the... No, I didn't see that.
Okay, because under the word holy, and I didn't... I don't have that Strong's with me. It's a fine line. Or if you want me to look it up, I can look it up. Because just because... You can be kodeshed or you can be kodosh, for Satan as well. You can be set apart for him. So this is so. There was a teaching some years ago that the person who was teaching had brought this out as far as in he had a Strong's, and I looked it up and I saw it as well, that a prostitute can be set apart for whatever she's set apart for too. So it doesn't mean to be. He had mentioned in this particular purpose to be clean. But you can that same word can also apply, and I can look it up because I you know
well,
I want to.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's the same thing I'm saying is that you know that when you're set apart, meaning that you've been separated. But I just want the
mm-hmm.
listeners to understand that this particular kodesh means that I just want them to see that you can defile yourself as it concerns and applies to these laws. And if you break these laws or if you're unclean at the time, then you have to be kodesh. From using the name and knowing who you are, where you are, you would be put out of the camp for a while or not touched. So, but yeah, that's the point I'm making, what you're saying. I got you. I understand that you can be also set apart for other things. So, but in keeping with this particular verse, at the end it says, he says, I am the Lord, I am Ahayah, I am El, which sanctifies you, kodeshes you. And the way he did that is by bringing us, the children of Yasharel, out of Egypt. He brought us out of a people to separate us.
And that's then the 33rd verse.
In order that we might be clean. And I'm going to tell some of y'all, you are unclean when you start eating bacon in the morning, when you go to the crab shack and get your garlic crab, and when you eat catfish, all that stuff he told you is unclean.
Oh, see, man, you
separate.
Some people are hanging up right now or what?
Yeah, they can hang up. You better put that bacon down. And he's doing it for your own good because it's loaded with toxins and all kinds of, what do you call the little worms that's inside that bacon? I forgot, maggots and just that stuff that you don't even want to touch because those are the natural garbage disposers for the earth. He did that for your own good because those animals are unclean and he doesn't want you to be unclean. He's like, let those other nations eat that. You know, them people on the TV show that eat all kind of crazy foods and do all that kind of stuff and got people wanting to try this, try that, go eat some snails, go eat a snake, go eat monkey brain. Come on, man. That's for the heathen, the Gentiles. You are
Andrew Zimmerman.
We are called out people, given dietary laws, statutes, and these are the laws. And this is the precept that he's made clear for us, that we are sanctified through being called out by being kodesh, that ceremonially and morally, our morals are in the 613. Our ceremonies are even keeping the Shabbat, what we do today. I'm out.
Man, you said it all. I have nothing else to say about that. You said it all. And, you know, I mean, just to those who are struggling in this area, I got my struggles elsewhere, you know, I mean, but just keep, you know, I taught last week to my family, keep pressing towards the mark, you know, keep pressing towards it, pray for help, you know, I mean, he'll help you, you know, there's some stuff that I still have to get some pagan ways out of me, you know, I mean, and so... you know, and so just keep pressing, you know, keep pressing. Get on that halakha, get on that path of righteousness, of his word, and ask for help. No matter what you're going through, ask for help. And, you know, he'll be able to rescue and deliver us and save us and bring us back to his word.
Most definitely.
So don't be discouraged, you know, listeners, don't be discouraged. Don't think that you can't do it. Like, well, man, I love my catfish. I love my barbecue ribs. Man, I love it. You know,
sin.
It's like
sin. You're gonna burn. It's sin.
Yeah.
Catfish got too many balls anyway. Get you some snap.
Just ask for help.
I just wanted to go ahead and lighten it up, but we don't have any guest calls. And it's our prayer and our petition that this has been an increase to you. And if you listen, what we said at the beginning of the show is we're trying to get our people, our Mishpachah, to understand how we lived, how we need to live, and how we're going to live. Because we're going up under the law once again. And it's all for your good. It's all for your good. So, Elder, since we don't have any calls, before we get ready to sign out on the Shabbat and continue to rest and worship, I'll let you have your final comments.
You know, let's just, once again, you know, just as we go through the word and as we go through the commandments, excuse me, don't get discouraged. You know, don't feel that you can't live up to it. That's what the Ruach, that's what the Holy Spirit is for, the Ruach HaKodesh, or some people call him HaKodosh. It was, you know, that's we can just call for help. So don't get discouraged. Just, you know, I think you said it the other day, Elder, we're in, was it my wife? I haven't been asleep much. So one of you said that we're in for a marathon race. It's not a 100-yard race. And, you know, so, you know, this is for the long haul. So don't get discouraged. Just pray. And then, you know, if you need help, you know, I mean, hey, we're here as well. So don't get discouraged. We're learning, and we're being perfected, you know, and we're killing the flesh daily. You know, so I just wanted to leave that with you.
Right, and if you want to contact us, you can reach us at blogtalkradio.com/scan, S-C-A-N 1. Or if you want to call the Elder direct, I think he gives his personal number out. Is that what you do, Elder?
No, man, because I never hear the end of it.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time. But we just also appreciating the goodness of the Most High, and how good he's been to us. And so we want you to continue in this race, as he mentioned. So I'm Elder V. This is another edition of our Shabbat Convocation, the Glory Mountain Yasharel, Kabod Mountain, as we will say from here on out. And I'm getting ready to close out by saying that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. With that being said, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.